Even before getting to Highland Springs, I was always taught treat people the way you want to be treated. Always respect your adults, your elders that are around you, and you know, the best athletes are not necessarily on the best football team. You know, and football is probably the greatest team sport in the world. If there's another one I've never played or never heard of, been a part of a team sport that's better. And the only way you can be successful as a team, if it's running the business, if it's running the organization, the VHSL, you're running it. If everybody's not on the same page and everybody's not on the same team, then you don't have anything. You just got a bunch of people fighting each other. And when I first got to Highland Springs, I made it a point when I met, you know, Coach Ward introduced me for the first time to make every alumnus proud of me and what I was doing. I'm not from Highland Springs. I'm from South Florida. So, you know, I used to say to Coach Simmons when we hang out, we go fishing or things of that nature. You know, I just want to make, and I said to him, I want to make you proud, right? I want to make you proud as a Springer, somebody that went to Highland Springs. I want to make these guys proud when they come back. I just want people to be proud of us. And I think the greatest way to do that is to dive into it and set expectations of people and individuals. And I think if you set any expectation of any person, they'll meet those expectations. That's the human body. That's the human mindset. And we tell people that don't want to meet those expectations to leave, because this is not the place for you. We want to be great students. Everybody up here is a great student or working towards it. Everybody here puts the time and effort in to be a great athlete. And then now we need them to depart, the seniors to depart, and be great people. And then the guys coming back to next be great leaders for the younger guys behind them. So is it validation? I said all that to answer your question. Is it validation? Validation is hearing them say, Coach Johnson is the best coach I've ever had, or Coach Johnson loves us, or Coach Johnson cares about us. That's validation to me, because I got into high school coaching to make young men better men. And it's a means to an end, right? So if I wasn't doing this, I'd probably still be working with young people in some form or capacity. This is the job that I have right now, and the job that I'm going to keep probably until that little girl back there in the back is a senior and graduates. So I'll be here for a little bit longer, a long time, and I appreciate the opportunity to be their coach. And just so you know, Moon, I will never, ever stop being your coach, and neither will Coach Simmons. We will always be coach. We just do it from a distance. And if you guys ever decide to do anything other than be great men, I'll put my foot in your hind part, so it doesn't matter. It's always going to be that way. So validation is them speaking highly of us as coaches.
The words of Highland Springs head football coach Lauren Johnson. Saturday afternoon in the post-game press conference at Scott Stadium following their 27-7 win over Stonebridge. Man, I got shivers when he said to make young men better men. That's what it's all about. Hey friends, welcome into Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network, as football has come to a close. On the high school level, that is, of course, we've got a lot more stuff heading your way. Basketball in full swing, winter sports underway, but we have put a wrap on the 2015 high school football season, and what an afternoon at the University of Virginia. Just several observations as they come to my mind here as we start the podcast on this Sunday night. And we apologize for being a little late. There were some things that happened here around the old homestead today that we weren't expecting to happen. You know, for example, if you go to my front porch right now, true story, there are no front steps. They're gone. they have needed to be replaced for a little while, and my wife, who is the handyman of the home and the home office, went out and got them all torn up and ready to go, and she's got the material to put the new ones in. And lo and behold, we discovered a couple of issues that were hiding under the old, bad 23-year-old steps. And so at this hour, we have string. You know, as if it were caution tape across our front porch, and I had to text both of my kids before they would, you know, come over and visit or whatever. You know, my daughter's now home for Christmas from college, and it's like, when you get off work this afternoon, there's no steps up front. So a plan B to get into the house. So it's been an interesting day here. At the Casa de Witham, as it were, and HCS Media Network World Headquarters. You know what? Life would be boring if you didn't have things like that, to be honest with you. So anyway, a couple of observations about the Saturday win. Number one, hats off to the Virginia High School League. But did a fantastic job running, taking care of, directing everything that went on. We were there from 90 minutes before kickoff of the Highland Springs game. And when we wrapped things up to get back to Richmond to head over to Glen Allen High School to fulfill a promise we made to Jaguar Drama 6 months ago that we would be right back up front watching their fall production, even though my daughter is no longer a part of Jaguar Drama, graduated and off to college. So we had to get back in town to do that. And so fulfilled that promise, but they were just getting the 6A game started. And just the way that all the officials worked on the field behind the scenes, in the tunnel, taking care of the media, taking care of the teams, getting the 5A award ceremony taken care of, and having the 6A teams getting out there and trying to keep it as on time as possible. Very good job. Hats off to Mike McCall and company at the VHSL for good work at Scott Stadium Saturday afternoon. Now as for the game itself. Hats off to the Highland Springs offensive and defensive lines. If you have read our feature story on the championship game at HenricoCountySports.net, and if you haven't, I urge you to do so, we talked extensively about, even though if you were there at the game or if you were watching it or if you were following along with us on Twitter at Henrico Sports, you know that a lot of the headlines go to quarterback Juwan Carter, running back DJ Anderson, the great wideouts Greg Dortch and Kevon Wallace, etc. And certainly they deserved their moment in the sun. They did some incredible work yesterday. But in the trenches, there was some unbelievable work being done, especially the Highland Springs defensive line in the second half. I saw two of their four shutouts in that four shutout in a row streak in the middle of the regular season. They ended up with five on the season. And they only allowed two teams to get more than 30 points, and they beat them. When they beat Lee Davis in the second round, 41-34, and then when they held on and survived the comeback of Hermitage in round three and got the touchdown in the waning seconds to win 42-35. But then we look and we go to the regional final, the state semi a week ago, and Highland Springs' defense shuts out Indian River in the second half to hold them to just 10 points. And then they come into Scott Stadium, and the word all week long was, how do you handle Stonebridge's offense? It's highly unusual with the single wing, and they run some incredible misdirections, and there was some impressive work done by the Stonebridge offense. There's no doubt about that in terms of their schemes. But save the opening drive, which was saved by a Dortch interception, and the fact that their lone touchdown drive came on a 17-yard drive after a play where Dortch was called to have fumbled a punt return, which Greg said in the press conference afterwards he didn't touch the football. But be that as it may, then you went into a situation where late first half, and then for the rest of the game, second half, first of all, the front four for Highland Springs harassing Joe Thompson, very good quarterback for Stonebridge, on his way to Charlotte in Conference USA, which is a relatively new football program, but in Conference USA, same conference as Old Dominion, for example. So he's got a very bright collegiate future. But the Highland Springs front four harassed Joe Thompson the second half. He completed two passes on Saturday. Two. And the biggest one was on a fourth down conversion on the opening drive, which set up the play where he went downfield. Thought he had a man wide open, and most of us there at the stadium thought he did too, until Dortch turned on his jets and was able to close what he said he felt was a bit of an underthrown ball, and was able to dive up in the air, make the catch for the interception. And that kind of set the tone at that point for the game. Joe Thompson only completed one more pass the rest of the day, and it was just for 5 yards. In the second half, he rolled to his right so many times for the sake of survival. Wasn't planned rollouts. It was, oh my gosh, here they come again. Just tremendous work by the front four. Then you look at Earl Anderson, you look at Deshaun Sutton, and then coming up in the secondary, Coley, Dortch, etc. They would try to run outside when running inside slowed down. And that didn't work because we didn't see anybody this year that could outspeed Highland Springs. And they proved it again on Saturday. They would try, I can't remember, 3-4 times in a stretch of several minutes where Stonebridge just tried again and again and again to run to the left. And every time they tried, there was somebody there. 2 yard gain, 1 yard gain, 1 yard loss, 1 yard gain. Couldn't do anything. And so, you know, I know they had 4 straight shutouts in the regular season. I know they had 5 in the regular season. I know they only had the 2 games in the playoffs where they gave up more than 30 points. And I know they did a phenomenal performance against Indian River last week in the semis because I was there for it. But I personally think the final 28 minutes of Highland Springs season was the finest hour for their defense because they took a team that had scored 104 points in the last 2 playoff games to defeat 2 unbeaten teams and the top 2 seeds in the 5A North region. They took down number 1 Massaponics when they were 12-0. And then they took down number 2 and defending North Region champion Tuscarora when they were 13-0. And Stonebridge at one point this season was 4-4. Thompson had been hurt. Thompson comes back. They enter Charlottesville Saturday on a 6-game winning streak and sky high after beating the top 2 seeds in their region, who both were unbeaten. So, you know, the last 2 wins were teams who had a combined record going into the games of 25-0. And so a lot of people were looking at that and going, okay, how's Highland Springs going to stop this machine? 104 points. And all of us on Press Row were thinking, okay, this is going to be, you know, 42-41 or, you know, 38-35 or at the least 35-28. Nobody thought we would have 34 points, period. And Highland Springs could have had at least 7 more. They had a Wallace touchdown called back, but he got a couple of good ones. And Greg certainly got his moment in the sun on the 3rd and 32, where they line him up at tailback, and off he goes. Again, back to the line play. They opened up a huge hole off left guard. Greg goes to his left just a bit, goes up the middle. His speed beats the second level, and then he breaks one tackle at about the 20 or 25-yard line. That's it. What do you do on 3rd and 32? You hand it to Greg Dortch and let him go 66 yards for a touchdown. And when that happened, that broke the back of Stonebridge. At that point, most of us were looking at the clock and saying, okay, 8 minutes until the celebration, 6 minutes until the celebration, because that broke the spirit. If you've got a team 3rd and 32, you're going to get the ball back. It's early in the fourth quarter and you're down 20-7. Okay. That's the situation. I mean, you're right at the start of the fourth quarter. You got a full fourth quarter to go. And on 3rd and 32, they hand it to Greg Dortch and he goes to the house. You know, at that point, I'm sure that there were a lot of kids that were just kind of looking at each other like, what can we do? Because there was so much individual athleticism to go with the great play of the offensive line, the defense as a whole, the defensive line specifically. When Kevon Wallace ran the 55-yard touchdown pass from Carter in the third quarter to up the lead to 21-7 after the 2-point conversion, and those of you who were there and those of you who saw it on television, you know it was a 7-yard out to Wallace on a 3rd and 10. That's all it was. And it was Kevon who took his would-be tackler and stripped his shoes with an incredible move. And then down the sideline he went, and nobody could catch him. Too much speed. Gone. 7-yard out. Reminded me, to a lesser extent, of the Greg Dortch touchdown against Atlee on our game of the week back on that first Monday night in October, where it was about an 8-yard out on the far sideline of the home side of the field at Kreider Stadium. He proceeded to come across the field, break about 7 tackles, spin around to get rid of 1 Atlee defender, and an 80-yard touchdown pass was 8-yard pass, 72 yards yards after catch. And yesterday for Wallace, it was 7-yard pass, 48 yards after catch, touchdown. So just a phenomenal performance for Highland Springs, 14-1. Who'd have thought when we, August 28th, when we started the season, first night of the season, we were down at Cosby Thomas Dale. And, of course, we were getting the updates from Hermitage Highland Springs, and Hermitage got the win in overtime, and we thought, wow, Highland Springs is 0-1. They got to go down to Norview next week. And, you know, already, you know, some of us were thinking, man, Springers, are they going to be in early trouble? And then they went down there, they won 49-21, and then after that, they just started to calm things down and get things going. They got the win over Meadowbrook, they had a bye, and then they started Capital District play with a 71-0 pasty of Armstrong on a Wednesday night. Game moved because of the bicycling championships that were in town. And they scored 41 points in the first quarter. And so that was the game before we had them for Atlee. And that game was rained out on a Friday night. We had it the following Monday night, October the 5th. And we watched them win 49-24. And then 4 nights later, they go to Hanover and they win in 3 quarters because it was 45-0 after 3. There was a storm front coming in. And the refs and the ADs and the coaches all decided there's no reason to play the fourth quarter. Let's get out of here and get the fans safe before the storm hits. And that's what we did. For the first time in the 14 years of our broadcasting the game of the week on the radio and online, we had a game end early, a full quarter early. We had one other game end early in 2002, our first season, due to an injury very late in the game, where the outcome was no longer in doubt. There was a player who was injured, had to be carted off and taken to a local hospital that night for observation, and everything was fine. But when, I think it was the last minute or so of the game, and so they just called it at that point. But we never had been in a situation where a full quarter to go, and I'm looking down at my notes while the commercial's running on the radio, and I look back up, and the teams are shaking hands, and I'm like, what's going on here? And then we got the word, and just, you know, that was part of that four-game shutout streak. Just incredible performance against a Hanover team that made it to, you know, the state quarterfinals this year and had a shot to knock off Lake Taylor, who ended up state runner-up, losing in overtime, double overtime, to Salem. Boy, those last games, 4A in Lynchburg, 6A at Charlottesville. Holy cow. Double overtime in one, triple overtime in the other. I will not make a comment about the fact that no one in the Tidewater area won a state championship this year. I know there's a lot of talk on Twitter about it, and I'll leave you guys to do the talking about that. But congratulations to Highland Springs. Just an incredible performance. Hope you enjoyed the thoughts and comments of a great coach and a better man. Have thoroughly enjoyed getting to know head coach Lauren Johnson these last few years, covering them on our Game of the Week series. And even though they're going to lose a ton, oh man, are they going to lose a ton to graduation. They've got a ton coming back. And coach talked about the fact that there were players on the bench yesterday that are very talented who are, in his words, quote, chomping at the bit, end quote, to get on the field. And was thinking about it driving back to Richmond last evening that, 2016 in high school football in the metro Richmond area could be very intriguing. Obviously, Highland Springs will come back as a defending state champ. Juwan Carter will come back at quarterback. A lot of the line, both offensively and defensively, returns. They got to replace their skill players. Some of their backup skill players are graduating as well. So there's going to be a lot of holes to fill there in the secondary. You know, Dortch will be gone. Wallace will be gone. Earl Anderson will be gone at linebacker, and others as well. So there'll be holes, but you know, obviously during Coach Johnson's tenure, it's been proven that Highland Springs has a lot of talent in that school district. Just no doubt about it. And it's so funny that some schools are able to rally the troops and make the most of it and get the most kids out, and some schools just for whatever reason can't do it. So we got Highland Springs coming back. Of course, obviously, L.C. Byrd and Hermitage are going to want to come back, and L.C. Byrd reestablished himself. Hermitage still looking for that elusive state title for head coach Patrick Kane. They haven't won a state title. It's been a longer drought for Hermitage than it was for Highland Springs. Hermitage won theirs in 1958. Highland Springs' last title before yesterday, excuse me, was 1961, 54 years ago, and that championship wasn't even won on the field. It was back when the VHSL awarded championships once seasons were completed and before they started competing for them at the latter part of that decade. A couple of teams that I'm going to be interested in looking at in the offseason, up in 6A, Manchester is one. They had to play so many young players this year, and I know that they had those back-to-back losses to Cosby, one to end the regular season, and that set up the rematch in round one in 6A South, and they fell in that too. But I think Manchester is going to be a team to watch next year, no doubt about it. I have a hard time believing Verina is going to be down more than two consecutive years. So I have a feeling that we may have a resurgence of Verina coming up this next year in 2016. I think in Hanover County, two storylines to watch. One, who replaces Roscoe Johnson at Attlee? It's going to be a huge call and decision for the administration there, simply because of the culture that Coach Johnson built in his nine-year tenure, how he completely changed the Friday night football experience at Attlee. It went from being dead to being the most live place to be in the area. Can this next coach be as charismatic and get 140 kids to come out and fill three football rosters? Attlee, one of the few schools in the area, along with Hermitage, Cosby, L.C. Bird, and a couple of others that have ninth grade teams as well as JV teams, and to do that, you got to have a lot of bodies. So can they do that? Hanover loses Marcus Bazalan. They lose some definite big-time players defensively. Clayton Cheatham, can he be healthy for a full season? If so, you know, how is he going to be able to continue to grow and mature, especially in the passing game? Jack Chenault will be back to lead the wide receiving core. So Hanover will be very intriguing next year in 4A. I think Patrick Henry has a chance to take another step forward. I know that some people think they took a step back this year because they were 6-4 in 2014. They made the playoffs. They lost in the first round, but they made the playoffs for the first time in 7 years. And then this year, they were 4-6. But you got to remember, they switched from the Colonial to the Capital District. So instead of playing TJ and John Marshall and Deep Run, they were regularly facing Henrico and Highland Springs and the Verina, and they had a non-district schedule. Of course, you know, playing their county brethren in the Capital District, it freed them up to put in some games, and they had Mills Godwin, Glen Allen, and Caroline. Might want to consider upgrading one of those two games, Glen Allen, Caroline, for the benefit and the sake of VHSL rider points, because unless something big happens to those programs next year, if you have them again on the 2016 schedule, wins over them aren't going to produce a whole lot of bonus points when you're fighting there for a position in 5A North. And, you know, that they were in a position, but they had to win the Tomato Bowl, and they weren't able to do it. But they got most of their players coming back, very few senior starters. And Coach Brian Davis is an excellent coach, and the culture there has been built. Now it's a chance of going to the next level, and I think PH is a team to watch next year. Thomas Dale will be interesting to watch, too. They have some definite losses going. You know, Trent Williams is off to Richmond. Brian Bullock, Sam Stark, obviously. Man, wow, what just a great linebacker. Holy cow. You know, but the Knights always are, again, one of those programs that seem to just have the kids come out and the talent there. We've got coaching vacancies that has to be filled not only at Attlee, but Glen Allen and Deep Run. They will be two very interesting hires. For Glen Allen, a program that had started in the upward trajectory, they made a change. They went backwards big time the last 2 years. For Deep Run, a school that had very early football success but has fallen on hard times in recent years, the talent's there. Is it a matter of just finding the right coach who will get the kids out and rebuild the culture and rebuild the winning tradition at Deep Run? Because for several years there in the late 2000s, Hermitage Deep Run was the game in the Colonial District, and it has not been that way for quite some time. Clover Hill is looking for a new coach for the first time in over 15 years. They've fallen on hard times the last few years, save the work of Joel Caleb a few years ago before he went to Tech. Petersburg looking for a head coach. TJ looking for a head coach. And I'm hoping they can find somebody who can build on the foundation that Chad Hornick brought to them. That is for sure. So there'll be a lot of interesting things going on in the offseason. Of course, football wraps up officially, not the schedule from the VHSL, but the Big River Rivalry All-Star Football Game coming up Saturday at Randolph-Macon. Rosters were announced last week. You can see them at rbasportsnetwork.com. Just scroll down the page. And we'll be there Saturday at Randolph-Macon College. It's a 1 o'clock kick. I hope you'll come too. Believe tickets are $10. I also know that proceeds from the game benefit the Children's Hospital of Richmond, thanks to the Touchdown Club of Richmond, which is a fantastic endeavor by them. North has won both of the first two games in very close fashion. So you know the South is chomping at the bit to get a win, and the North doesn't want their unbeaten streak to go by. So it's going to be a lot of fun Saturday afternoon. And we'll have coverage on Twitter. After 1 o'clock, you can, our whole network of Twitter feeds will be up and running from that game, so we can feature plays and statistics and whatnot from the players from throughout the Central Region, city schools, tri-cities, and surrounding counties on the RVA Sportsnet on Twitter. And, of course, Hanover Sports, Henrico Sports, and Chesterfield Sports. So that will officially end football for 2015. The VHSL schedule has now come to a close. And we're now, what, 35, 34 Friday nights? I got to go count the calendar until we are back in action on the game of the week. I used to, a few years ago, almost go into a mini depression for a couple of weeks when high school football season ended, because then I didn't have a chance to broadcast sports for another 34, 35 weeks. And then good Lord blessed us with the RVA Sports Network a few years ago, and now we're doing high school sports all season long, and we only take off a couple of months in the summertime, and then we're right back at it. So don't have that issue to have to worry about anymore. Let's get to basketball, shall we? Let's talk about our new top 10 polls that were released earlier tonight on Twitter at the RVA Sportsnet. Not in major changes in the polls this week. Couple of newbies, couple of teams drop out. One team in the boys takes a pretty precipitous fall. But we'll start with the girls. Glen Allen has made the return to the top 10 after being in it a good part of last season, but losing a lot to graduation. But they're really riding the ship and getting things going. Going to be interested to see how they perform in the Times-Dispatch Invitational starting next Monday. And they debut at number 10 this week. Prince George is the team that dropped out of the top 10. Midlothian falls from 7 to 9 after losing on Friday to Huguenot. And a Huguenot rises in the poll. We'll get to Tyre Robinson and company in just a moment. But Midlothian suffers their first loss, and they fall to number 9. Up one spot to number 8, Deep Run. They go to Godwin, one of their arch rivals. They get a road win, which is not easy to do in that Godwin gym. If you've ever been there on a rivalry night, you understand. And so Deep Run stays unbeaten, and they move up one. Also moving up one to number 7 is Huguenot. They stay unbeaten with the win over then 7th-ranked, now 9th-ranked Midlothian. And then the top 6 are exactly the same. Number 6, Henrico. Number 5, J.R. Tucker. They're still undefeated. Number 4, L.C. Byrd. We had their win over James River here on the RVA Sports Network on Thursday night. Number 3, Highland Springs. The girls finally got on the court for their opener Friday night, and they took some frustrations out on Harmstrong. 126-39. On one hand, I'm impressed by the Highland Springs performance. On the other hand, I feel incredibly sorry for the Wildcats. Just a tough night. 126-39. Atlee's got to deal with Highland Springs this week. Patrick Henry's got to deal with Highland Springs this week. Before that, they have to deal with each other tomorrow. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Oh boy, Highland Springs, number 3 and looking really good. And they could, if the tournament works out a certain way, be on a collision course next week for a showdown with 4A state champion Monacan. Possible. Times Dispatch tournament is the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. And while we have just a second, let's talk just a little bit about how the bracket works this year. You've got, in the girls division, you've got Cosby and Atlee playing each other in round one, J.R. Tucker, Highland Springs, St. Catharines and Huguenot, Glen Allen and Monacan. And if memory serves me correctly, the winner of Cosby Atlee gets the winner of J.R. Tucker Highland Springs, and the winner of St. Catharines Huguenot gets the winner of Glen Allen Monacan. If that be the case, then we could have a Cosby Highland Springs matchup in the semis, and there could be, the winner of that game getting Monacan in a 1-versus-2 or a 1-versus-3 game in the championship. Of course, I'm not automatically just throwing Monacan up to the championship out of that bracket. Not to be disrespectful to Huguenot or anybody else. But, you know, we look at the top 3 teams in our poll that are going to be in that tournament. You know, we talk about L.C. Byrd, too, but they're not in it. And it's pretty impressive. And there is a bit of separation right now, I think, in our poll between our top 4 teams and the rest of the poll. I think the closest team right now, even though they lost to J.R. Tucker, to be somebody that might be able to hang it with L.C. Byrd or Highland Springs or Cosby or Monacan at this point, elsewhere in the poll, is probably Henrico. because they have some great speed and athleticism. But it just all remains to be seen. Number three, Highland Springs. Number two, still Cosby. Number one, still Monacan. They get a win over Millbrook at home Saturday afternoon, and they stay unbeaten. So that's your top 10 girls poll. Glen Allen 10, Midlothian down to 9, Deep Run 8, Huguenot up to 7, Henrico 6, Tucker 5, Bird 4, Highland Springs 3, Cosby 2, and Monacan 1. Getting ahead of myself. So that's the girls' top 10 poll. Top 10 boys' poll, couple of changes. Hopewell, last week number 9, they dropped to number 10, but they stay in the poll despite an overtime loss to the new number 9 team, the Generals of Dinwiddie. We have a Conference 20 team in the top 10, I believe, for the first time this season. The Dinwiddie Generals move in at number 9, first time in the poll for them. Hopewell at number 10. Millwood is the school that dropped out of the top 10. They had spent the first 2 weeks at number 10. Falling from 3 to 8, and some people may think that's a pretty huge fall for a two-point loss on Friday night at home to a Trinity Episcopal. Benedictine falls from 3 to 8. And I think part of that is because, number one, Trinity Episcopal is debuting in the poll this week, and they had to go somewhere, and it certainly would surmise to say that they would be ahead of a team that they defeated. And indeed, Trinity Episcopal has entered the top 10 for the first time. They are at number 7 in the poll. George Wythe is the other team that dropped out. They were 8 last week. So Benedictine 8, Trinity Episcopal 7. Highland Springs is at number 6, and jumping Highland Springs and getting into the top 5 for the first time, the Saints of St. Christopher's. They beat Norfolk Academy on Friday night, Nick Sherrod, Alex Petrie and company, and they hit our top 5. So number 5, St. Christopher's, up 1 to number 4, Deep Run. They had to go into that very hostile environment at Godwin on Friday night. Was Deep Run the better team? Yes, but still. Godwin is extremely well coached. They have athleticism. They are kind of a bit of a mirror of Deep Run because they like to get into your head. They like to play very well defensively. Certainly being at home, they wanted to use the crowd to their advantage. And they held, you know, they hung in there for quite a while. Deep Run ended up with the win 70-56. But you can ask anybody from Deep Run. Going into Godwin and getting a win, doesn't matter how good you are, how good they are, how bad you are, how bad they are. That is a tough place to play. So the Wildcats keep it rolling. Number 3, also moving up 1, John Marshall. They are undefeated as well. So our new top 3 is 3, John Marshall. Staying at 2, LC Bird, after the win over James River and the scare they had with Verina this week, overtime, before they were able to get the win by 4, 92-88. We'll see if that was maybe an early season wake-up call for Coach Manza's Skyhawks. And hanging on at number 1, of course, the Warriors of Henrico, who will have a game, maybe 2 this week, and then they'll get ready to host Henrico Holiday Hoops, and we'll be there with them beginning Monday, December the 28th. All right, quickly, let's talk a bit about where we're going to be, some of the places we're going to be here this week on the RBA Sports Network. We mentioned Monday night, Patrick Henry and Atlee will be battling in girls basketball action, and that will be a very, very good game. Starts at 7:30. Atlee, slow start this year, very surprisingly slow start. They get their first win of the year against Lee Davis in a game we had live here on RBASN on Friday night. So even though their record is 1-3, they certainly, at home, have an opportunity to knock off the now 6-0 Patriots of Patrick Henry. But boy, are they off to a surprising start and a very strong start. So I'm really looking forward to that game. We'll have live coverage on Twitter at Hanover Sports. And we'll also have a full, complete wrap-up coverage of it in this coming week's new edition of the Hanover Herald Progress newspaper. Now, Tuesday night, some of the games scheduled, pretty interesting. In boys' play, Hanover has to go to number 1 Henrico. Patrick Henry gets their first trip back in the Capital District at Highland Springs, so they'll be going up against a top 10 team. Lee Davis has to go to Verina. Petersburg has to go to number 10 Hopewell, while number 9 Dinwiddie goes to Matoaca. And Colonial Heights has to get on the bus and head to Greensville County for a game on Tuesday night. Number 3 girls, Highland Springs, are at Patrick Henry. Number 6 Henrico at Hanover. Verina will come to Lee Davis. That could be an interesting game. Hopewell will go to Petersburg. And then things quiet down for a good part of the rest of the week. Wednesday night, we're going to be at wrestling for the first time this year. As we get a chance to take a look at Patrick Henry and Hermitage, and the third team in that try is escaping my mind right now, but we'll be there to cover that, to have wrestling coverage in the Christmas week edition of the Hanover Herald Progress. And then Thursday night, some intriguing matchups are available. Verina goes to Hanover in boys basketball. Mills Godwin goes to number one Henrico. Prince George and Colonial Heights get it on Thursday night. Highland Springs comes to Atlee to take on the Raiders. That could be interesting. And Lee Davis goes to Glen Allen. And that could be an interesting matchup as well. On the girls' side on Thursday night, Atlee and Highland Springs. And that's been the thorn in Atlee's side the last couple of years during their resurgence. They just haven't been able to hang with the Springers. And after what Highland Springs did Friday night, I don't know. Henrico girls have to go to Mills Godwin, and that could be an interesting game, too. Hanover will host Verina as well. Friday night, some games get back in action over in Chesterfield after exams are done. LC Bird and Clover Hill will play each other. Cosby at James River in boys action on Friday night. That one could be very good. St. Christopher's, number 5 in our poll. They got to get on the road to St. John Paul the Great, out of town up Northern Virginia. And that's again on Friday. Saturday, we mentioned, will be at the Big River Rivalry football game at Randolph-Macon at 1 o'clock. There are some basketball games that afternoon, including on the boys' side, Lee Davis to Caroline, Cosby down at the beach against Ocean Lakes, Meadowbrook is up Northern Virginia against Woodbridge, and on girls' basketball action, LC Bird goes to Hopewell that afternoon, and Petersburg will also have a game that afternoon as well. And then a week from Monday, it is the start of both the Times-Dispatch Invitational Tournament and the new Jaguar Jamboree, an 8-team boys tournament that will be taking place at Glen Allen High School on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of December. So we're going to have hoops coverage on Twitter and online right up until Christmas Eve, and then we're right back at it the following Monday, the 28th, when we present our annual holiday Feast of Hoops, 10 broadcasts in 3 days here on the RVA Sports Network, from both the Henrico Holiday Hoops Tournament and the Southerner Classic at Lee Davis in Mechanicsville. So, friends, the headlines from this past week. Highland Springs brings home another state championship to the 804. It is the fourth year in a row that a team from the Central Region has won a state football title. It's the first time in that stretch that the team name was not LC Bird. It is the fourth year in a row that a team in the now configuration of 5A South has won that title, and the third year in a row that the team that got out of the 5A South Central gauntlet went all the way, beat a team from the 757, and then beat the North Region champion. For the championship, which I think continues to galvanize the current fact, I don't think you can really argue it, that the toughest region bracket in the Commonwealth of Virginia, I believe, in all 6 levels of high school football, is 5A South. And more specifically, the toughest 8-team sub-region bracket is right here in the RBA. That 5A South Central is pretty incredible. And as Coach Johnson said in the post-game press conference yesterday, if you get out of that, you're battle-tested, and you're ready for anything. And they were ready for Stonebridge. And in the end, 27-7, the final score in that game. And that offense for Stonebridge, again, 104 points scored in their last 2 playoff wins, beating 2 unbeaten teams and the top 2 seeds in 5A North. 12-0 Massaponics, 13-0 Tuscarora. Both go down. Now, Stonebridge gave up a lot of points in the shootouts, but the bottom line was they scored a lot too. And so a team comes in scoring 104 points in their last 2 games, and they leave Scott Stadium only scoring 7. 167 yards of rushing, 17 yards passing, 184 total yards on the day. Deshaun Sutton, 7 tackles. Tavian Blackwell, 7 tackles and a sack. Earl Anderson, 6. Kevon Merritt, 5. Greg Dortch, 5. Kevon Wallace, 4.5. Pharrell Coley, 3.5. Lee Dilworth, 3. Aaron Motley, 2.5. Jordan Wall, 2. Chris Bynum, 1.5. James Jackson, Demonte Felder, Jawan Robinson, each with a tackle. And hey, two quick players I want to say shout-outs to before we close on Highland Springs for making some key contributions on Saturday. Number one, I just mentioned his name, Jawan Robinson. You'll recall after Stonebridge scored their lone touchdown to tie it at 7, they opted to go for an onside kick right up the middle of the field. And Jawan Robinson was right there. He was able to move to his left, grab the ball out of midair, and actually gain about 5 yards on a return, putting Highland Springs in fantastic field position. So Coach Mickey Thompson was kind of hoping maybe he would catch them off guard, get the football, change the momentum completely of the game after taking advantage, scoring on the turnover. And that didn't happen because Jawan Robinson had sure hands and was able to get the ball, keep the ball, carry the ball, and hang on to the ball. And the other person I want to give a shout-out to is Glaster Ellis, the punter and the kicker. Glaster had a great day. He had two touchbacks. And Glaster, from the other games that I saw for Highland Springs this year, and Saturday was my sixth, it's not like he was a touchback machine like Ethan Ratke over at Attlee, once in a while. But he had two of them on Saturday that were very key, forcing Stonebridge, instead of, short kick to the 10, get a return, maybe break one, or maybe get a big gain out to the 40 or midfield, start them at the 20. They got to stare at 80 yards. And when he did it on those two occasions, they were very important. And his punting was excellent on Saturday as well, trying to look very quickly for his stats, and here they are. Four punts, longest one was 53, and his average was almost 36 yards per kick. 36. Fantastic job. Glaster Ellis and special teams. Job well done. Congratulations, Highland Springs. We are so happy for you and for the school and the everybody there. Thought of Rudy Ward. Saw him yesterday. Of course, he was the man who, as athletic director, brought Lauren Johnson in, and for the 2008 season, he's been there since. He was the man on the sidelines coaching when they lost in 1989. He was an assistant to the great Al Rinaldi when they lost that 14-13 heartbreaker to Annandale in 1978 in the championship game. And so Highland Springs now 1-2 in championship games, but they have two state championships. And I sincerely hope Al, wherever he is, had a chance to enjoy that game on Saturday. I know Mr. Ward did. No doubt about that. All right, friends. Good luck to you in Chesterfield with your exams. Best of luck. Study hard. Sleep well. Get them right. Then, you're the lucky guys. Once you head into Christmas break, you're done with the examinations. Kids in Hanover and Henrico and whatnot are going to be jealous of you in mid-late January when they're taking exams, and you're already breezing into second semester work. So it's tough to be Chesterfield this week. It's going to be great to be Chesterfield in about 4 or 5 weeks. Hanover Henrico kids this week are going, ha, ha, ha. They won't be saying that a month or so from now. Thanks, everybody, for being with us on this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network, which, of course, we have to do the legal thing. Solely intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience, any rebroadcast or retransmission, other use of the podcast, or any of our broadcast without express written consent from HCS Media LLC is strictly prohibited. Our next broadcast is Saturday night, first time ever, swimming. Really looking forward to that. Hanover Hawk Invitational Championships. They shove off at 5:15 at Swim RVA at the Collegiate School Aquatic Center on just off of Route 10 in Chesterfield, and we'll be there, go on the air at 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Really looking forward to being at this very new major in-season invitational event. Some of the best teams in VHSL swimming will be there, including, I think, about everybody that's currently VHSL sanctioned here in the Metro Richmond area. We'll see you at the Big River Rivalry on Saturday afternoon. We've got more to tell you about down the road, so stay with us on Twitter. And have yourself a wonderful week. Rob Witham saying thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on the sideline.